You are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au.
Children of the earth and sky, we're nurtured, sustained, given warmth and light from the above and below. Supported by earth, we build our homes, we till our fields, plant our gardens and orchards. When we turn from self and seek to be aware, we find holy light in human faces, in blossom, birdsong, and sky. The earth truly is our home. We are one of all earth's creatures and parents of earth's children yet to be.
Thank you, Barbara. Well, good morning and welcome to our service of worship. It is a service because its intention is to serve you. And it is worship because it serves you by raising to worth things that matter. Today is a rather special service, a distinctly Unitarian liturgy known as the Flower Communion. Don't worry if you're a first-time visitor or just forgot to bring a flower. We always have more to share. My name is Rob McPherson, the minister of this church, and I welcome you here on behalf of generations of Unitarians who have worshipped in similar gatherings in South Australia since 1854. We are a spiritual community that encourages and supports all who come to find, to fashion, and most importantly, to follow their own spiritual path, any path that helps you see more clearly, love more abundantly, and work toward a better world for all. You are invited to kick on with us after the service today for mimosas, both alcoholic and non, and cake and chocolate. Yum. Join in singing our opening hymn, Morning on Morning. Please stand as you're able. The Unitarian Flower Communion, which we are about to observe, was conceived 96 years ago by Dr. Norbert Čapek, founder of the modern Unitarian movement in the former Czechoslovakia. All of the adults and children of his church in Prague participated together in this colorful ritual, a ritual which gives sensual expression to the life-affirming principles of our liberal faith. Compare it to the Christian communion and the bread and wine it uses. Instead of consuming the work of human hands, we gather in and lift up and share the extraordinary fruits of the earth, flowers, examples of the abundant and diverse and delicate glory of the garden of the world we have been freely given. Flowers are one of life's necessary unnecessaries, things of beauty that make life worth sustaining. And in embracing and valuing flowers of different sizes, shapes, colors, textures, and scents, we are reminded that we are called to more than the cheap grace of merely tolerating difference, but to the harder work of pluralism, seeing and loving and honoring the sacred in all things to bind up all in a vision of unity. Now, this may sound woolly to you, but in Dr. Čapek's time and place, mid-20th century Europe, during the last rise of global totalitarianism, that vision of unity in diversity was a politically dangerous notion, and it remains so today. For if diversity is honored and lifted to the sacred, how shall we construct a social order so some of us prevail over others? If diversity is honored, how shall we decide whom to exclude and demonize as being of less worth and dignity than ourselves? Dr. Čapek's life-affirming Unitarian gospel of the inherent worth and dignity of every person was a threat, then as now, to the powerful blusterers of his day, those who would divide and rank people as more or less worthy, and through that division and ranking, to control them by sowing fear and hatred. When the Nazis took control of Prague, they quickly decided that Dr. Čapek was, quote, too dangerous to the Reich to be allowed to live. So he was sent to Dachau, where he was gassed like a stray dog the following year. Although this gentle and generous man suffered a cruel fate, still he rises every year in this message of hope and decency and beauty in this simple Unitarian ritual. So for us, the Flower Communion is a noble and meaning-filled tradition we are about to recreate. Now, as it's autumn in our southern hemisphere, we've chosen to commemorate it in the spirit of a harvest festival, a gathering in. And this service includes translations of the original prayers written by Dr. Čapek, called the principle and visions for which he lived, for which he suffered, for which he died, and by which he lives on with us today. I would like to call on the Reverend John Clifford to read Dr. Čapek's prayer to consecrate the flowers. John?
Thank you, Rob. We raise to worth and bless these messengers of fellowship and love. May they remind us, amid our diversities of knowledge and of gifts, to be one in desire and affection, and one in devotion to goodness and to beauty. May they also remind us of the value of fellowship, of doing and sharing with one another. May we cherish friendship as a most precious gift. May we not let awareness of another's talents discourage us or sully our relationship, but may we realize that whatever we can do, great or small, the efforts of all of us are needed. May we be strengthened by the knowledge that one spirit, the spirit of love, unites us. And may we endeavor together for a more joyful life for all. Amen.
Let's join in singing our second hymn, Bring Flowers to Our Altar. Please stand as you're able. You ever asked yourself why nature should offer like a zillion varieties of just one kind of vegetation, flowers? The poet and writer Annie Dillard says, look, imagine you're creating the earth. You want to make vegetation, something to keep soil from washing away, something to store solar energy, give off oxygen, and reproduce itself so you don't have to anymore. Wouldn't it have been simpler just to roll out and lay down one homogeneous carpet of green stuff? Why so many forms in nature? And bear in mind, too, that of all known forms of life, only 10% are still living. Nature just goes off on millions of wild, specific tangents simultaneously, flowing wildly, surging freely in a mixed-up tangle of forms. Nature's sheer creative exuberance seems to have no other explanation than a love of variety, of diversity for its own sake. I mean, could there even be such a thing as beauty without contrast? Dr. Čapek saw in the lovely wildflowers of his native Bohemia a glimpse of a deeper, underlying, binding, life-affirming unity in the diversity of the natural world. But Čapek had this vision of unity in diversity that became the Flower Communion at a time in European history when, as we know, moral and political power was being gained by trying to wipe out such entirely superficial differences as race, language, culture on that crowded continent, so that you had Übermenschen and Untermenschen, us and them, high status and low status. Totalitarianism, both fascist and socialist, emerged in the middle of the last century as a controlling authoritarian urge to homogenize the world. Ein Herrenvolk, ein Reich, ein Führer, ein Master Race. And to exclude those who didn't fit that monotonal vision as less than human. And this was apparently to achieve some sort of grim peace through the suppression of diversity that we see everywhere evident in nature and in human nature. Homogenization is not just unpretty or boring. Homogenization is against nature itself. It's even against the cosmic order, which always and everywhere shouts out greater diversity, more and more forms, forever and ever. Amen. Cultural homogenization isn't about peace and unity. It is always about power and control and hostility. So I wonder if you can see how keenly relevant this little ritual still is after 96 years, even for us, half a world and nearly a century away in multicultural, multi-ethnic, multilingual, multi-faith 21st century Australia. Where white South African farmers fleeing persecution are welcome, but South Sudanese people fleeing ethnic cleansing are not. Where European au pairs for rich people are welcome, but penniless, homeless, stateless Rohingyans are not. When the weapons of war are seen as a viable new gung-ho industry for South Australia, but the future victims of these same weapons can go rot. The same totalitarian reflex that claimed the life of Dr. Čapek and so many millions of others is alive and well here and now. Funny how we can love and see beauty in a vase of crazy mixed up different flowers, but when it comes to human beings, we don't want diversity. We only want our type, dear. Even Jesus, on whom the Easter feast day is supposedly based, wasn't white, though we have homogenized him and made him as white as any milk. And if you don't believe me, there's Norwegian Jesus on our stained glass window back there, not Palestinian. Diversity is not just about beauty and visual pleasure. Diversity points moral directions, acceptance, inclusion, generosity. And we know the totalitarian impulse is strong here because our country at large has saved its greatest collective moral indignation, not for our inhuman policies regarding humans, but for a load of. The sharing of these flowers then encapsulates in a simple gesture who we are and what we as Unitarians are meant to be about. Ingathering, inclusion, plurality, diversity, held together provisionally and gently, and from that gentle embrace of diverse forms, an unkillable evergreen hope, and all that says yes to life and living. Let a thousand blossoms bloom. Finally, the Flower Communion is a recognition of the great harvest of grace we enjoy, not just as Unitarians, but as human beings, alive to the miracle and mystery and the great beauty that is living even so brief a time as ours in this insanely rich and abundant and varied cosmos. And grace is why you got a flower gratis, even if you didn't bring one. To remind us that gifts of grace, gifts like Dr. Chopek's life service, gifts like our Unitarian movement, gifts like our lives in this incredible country, are in no sense earned by us. Life's bountiful gifts are just given, just as once upon a time the grace of God was said to be. We cannot earn or deserve in this world that which is most important. That which is most important, life itself, love, grace, beauty, always comes as a gift. So may we be truly grateful for the richly diverse beauty of our lives this day and all our days. And may we therefore take the moral direction of diversity to be generous in the spirit of love, the one and only blossom of true spiritual maturity. The awkwardness, the delicacy with which people pluck these things out of the vase, trying desperately not to hurt the tender petals, and to find something better for the person behind them than they got. I love this about it every year. Let us find some quiet within us for the words of Dr. Chopek's communion prayer. Find that still small space within you where there is silence. In the name of the great mystery of life's diverse beauty, which implants in the seed the future of the flower, and implants in our hearts the seed of longing for people to live in harmony. In the name of the highest, in whom we move, and who makes the mother and father, the brother and sister, the lover and the loner, what they are. In the name of sages and great religious leaders who sacrificed their lives to hasten the coming of the age of mutual respect, let us renew our resolution sincerely to be real brothers and real sisters to each other, regardless of any kind of bar which estranges us from each other. In this holy resolve, may we be strengthened, knowing that one spirit, the spirit of love, unites us. And may we endeavor for a more perfect and a more joyful life for all. So be it. Amen. Let's join together in singing our closing hymn, Earth Was Given as a Garden. You'll recognize the tune. Stand as you're able.
Seek not afar for beauty. It glows in dew-wet grasses all about your feet, in birds, in sunshine, in childish faces sweet, in stars and mountaintops topped with snow. Go not abroad for happiness. Look, it's a flower blooming at your door. Bring love and laughter home, and evermore joy shall be yours as changing years unfold. In wonder workings or some bush aflame, we look for truth and fancy it concealed. But in earth's common things, it stands revealed, while grass and flowers and stars spell out the name.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety. This permission can be obtained by emailing UnitarianSA@bigpond.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching SA Unitarians.